What's the greatest prayer in the Bible? Well, no doubt you've got several that you can choose from, and it would be an interesting discussion. Welcome to Through the Bible. Today, Dr. J. Vernon McGee takes us to 1 Chronicles, chapters 28 and 29, and tells about a prayer that belongs on our list of considerations. But first, Greg Harris and I have got some great things to share about a ministry that will always be special to us.
Steve, it really is a ministry that is very dear to our hearts for many reasons.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, it's now been more than 10 years.
Yeah.
We've been through two full five-year cycles, and that is, Arabic speakers are probably going to not be happy with me, but I say it's Kalil Kitab, which means the whole book in Arabic. And this is, you and I were in Egypt when they recorded the last of the five-year programs.
Highlights of traveling with Through the Bible was that day.
Yeah, and even for me, in all the years I've traveled, that would be one of my highlights in my whole life for such a huge project. I've often said it is the most complex and ambitious project outside of Dr. McGee building Through the Bible.
And the thing that I missed at the time was I assumed, okay, this is a one and done. We got Arabic on Arabic TV. Great show. Okay, see you guys later.
Yes.
And how many languages are we translating in now?
It's now dubbed into six additional languages. So that's seven total languages. Languages like Persian or Farsi. Spoken in Iran, Urdu, Turkish, Indonesian, and those five languages, those combined with Arabic, cover most of the Muslim world.
Yeah.
And then now we're in French, and we're also moving into some other languages as we speak.
Yeah, God, it's
amazing.
Again, it's just like a front row seat to see how God is blessing, getting his word out in so many different ways and through the Bible. And those of you listening, praying and supporting the ministry, have a part in that. It's just so exciting.
Well, it's also special, and I know we want to get to the letters here, but it's also special because it was the first time really in our history where we were willing to go into a non-radio format, and you're on the board, you're now chairman, but at the time, the board supported this, and I was so grateful they were willing because now let's get to the responses. The responses have been incredible.
Yeah, this first one is from Mohammed in Cairo. I contacted you at one point with interest, but then went on with my life. One day I contacted you again and asked for you to pray for a difficult exam the next morning. After the end of the prayer, for the first time, I feel that I am praying to a living person who hears. Please guide me forward into a relationship with this one. This is all new to my understanding.
Steve, the evangelistic impact of this program is, we don't even know. We'll know in heaven, but it's incredible. And it airs on satellite TV channels. I think the Arabic airs on about four or five or six channels a couple times a day. It's on YouTube. We've had over 7 million views on YouTube of these programs. And it's so many people who are in particularly Islam and they want to explore what the Bible says they can do it safely.
Yeah, and safely is key. That's a big deal. You can be a Christian in Egypt. You can be Islamic in Egypt, but you better not cross that line.
That is correct.
And you better not, you know, Islam, you're not going to become a Christian. So this is a big step for a guy like this to make, and they're doing it in large numbers.
Yes. Now, here's one from Eva. I watch your program regularly and learn so much. I am in school and tell many of my friends to watch. Sometimes their parents don't allow it, but I still tell them about it. And of course, people can see it on their cell phones, their mobile devices. It's everywhere, and we're so grateful. And that obviously, Eve is a young person, and that's thrilling.
Yeah, here's from Nasser. I'm 41 years old and have known God for a long time. I'm grateful for your calls and prayers. I suffer from diabetes chronically and have lost one eye, and the other one is weak. I am not married and live with my parents. When I am well, I will look forward to meeting you, I hope, here on this earth. But if not, then in his presence.
Wow. Steve, it's just you and I have been with these brothers and sisters in Egypt, and we've heard the stories and met some of the people. So let's do something a little different today. I'd like us to pray for our listeners who are from a Muslim background particularly. Mm. And would you read the text of our study, 1 Chronicles 29:11-13, and then I'll close us in
prayer. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness. the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name.
Beautiful. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, your word that Steve has just read is a prayer to you, a paean of praise. We do praise you, Lord, because you are so great and powerful, and we see that at work. We pray for those who are in the Muslim faith that they will be delivered and they will be brought into a living, loving, saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the power that that requires, and we ask you to keep doing it as you've done so many times. And we praise your name and rejoice in the power of Jesus Christ. In his name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today we come to our last study in 1 Chronicles. We're at 1 Chronicles 28:12. I'll move back to verse 11 to pick up the thought here. But this is rather, I think, sad. We've come to the end of the life of David. We're not through with David, though. You can't get rid of him that easy. When we get to the book of Psalms, we're going to see how this man opened up his heart in so many ways, and we'll see why God could say he's a man after my own heart, and that we might be this kind of a person today. Now, you'll recall that we are in the section where the emphasis is upon David's preparation for the building of the temple, and his heart, his soul is in this. This is the thing he wanted to do, and God would not permit him. He acquiesced in the will of God. But he made every preparation, and he has gathered the material, he's gathered the workmen, he has encouraged Solomon to build. Now, let me begin reading at verse 11 today. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of the treasures thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about, of the treasures of the house of God and of the treasures of the dedicated things, also for the courses of the priests and the Levites and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. You see that David made every preparation for the building of the temple. He has the blueprint of it, and he has already organized the Levites to serve in it. Now, I mentioned last time that I was going to say just a word about the model of the temple that is in the model of Jerusalem at the Holy Land Hotel in Jerusalem. I think I call that the Holy City Hotel, but it's Holy Land Hotel. That sounds, I think, a little better than Holy City. Now, this model is not one you put on a table. They have built it in the rear of the hotel, out in the spacious gardens they have there, and it's one that you have to walk around. I would not be able to tell you just exactly the distance or the ratio of the buildings to the actual buildings, but I would say that it is 50 feet across, and it gives you a real conception of how Jerusalem looked. Now, in it, they have the model of the temple. Now, when we get over in 2 Chronicles, I'll spend a little time when we see Solomon building, and certain of the details are given to us here, and we're going to make a very interesting study of that, because we're going to see that back in 1 Kings, certain things were omitted. And our attention now is directed to certain things that we didn't have back there. And it's the thing that God now takes delight in. The Lord has given us a great deal relative to the temple. Now, the models that you generally see of the temple are quite elaborate. It's a very imposing building and very large. And this, of course, would be Herod's temple. It was the last one that was there. I have here a model that comes from back about, I guess, 1964. And it is toned down a great deal to what the others were, and it probably gets into the area of how it really looked. And I could talk here for a couple of hours, and I have a notion you still would not have a conception of it, not because you wouldn't understand, but because I do not think I could adequately describe it. First of all, there is a simplicity about it, and I'm sure that that was there. It's always been made very complicated, and the details that are given to us in both Kings and Chronicles reveal a great deal of that. It was not as simple as the tabernacle was, but there was a simplicity about it. And it was not imposing in size, but it was a thing of beauty and of richness. It was not the size of it. It was the beauty of it brought about by the wealth that was bestowed on it. David very frankly told Solomon, he said, "You do not need to stint. I've gathered the materials enough for you to build just exactly what you want to." And it's been estimated of how much it really cost, and it would be up in the millions of dollars, even in that day. And of course, today, it just wouldn't build anything like this. It was ornate and covered with a great deal of gold and silver and precious stones. And this was actually the way that God wanted it built, and I've always felt God's house ought to correspond to the neighborhood in which it is. Now, I do not like to see these great cathedrals put up in the area of poor community, in fact, a slum area. That's not the way it is. Now, if you're in an area of millionaires, why, you'd want something commensurate with them. However, I believe that today the emphasis should not be upon the building at all. That is not the important thing. I read an account of a conference they had in Jerusalem on prophecy. It would be laughable, many of the things they said there, if it wasn't for the fact that it is rather serious to see men make statements like that. One of the questions was, would the temple be rebuilt? One of the arguments given was that God does not live in a box and you can't box him in. Well, if you read the record here accurately, and I wish that brother had, he'd find out that Israel had no notion you could box God in. Solomon, in his prayer dedication, very frankly said, "The heaven of heavens cannot contain thee." Why, the created universe can't contain God, and therefore Solomon says, "How can this little house?" It was a meeting place. It was for the glory and the honor of God. That is the important thing. Now today, God does not meet you in a building. He indwells individuals by the Holy Spirit today. And that is the thing that is important and the thing that we should emphasize, of course. Now, the thing that is amazing here is the heart of David. We are told here now to show you how ornate it was. Verse 14, "He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also, for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments, every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold, by weight for every candlestick." The whole thought here is that there was no stinting. There was nothing parsimonious about the temple. It was a great expanse and expenditure of the wealth of the kingdom of David. And David did this in order to honor God. Now you will notice, verse 19, "All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern." Now God gave to David the pattern of it. He picked the place, the threshing floor of Ornan. He also encouraged and inspired David, but would not let him build it. Now, verse 20, "And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it." Boy, I tell you, this man David wanted Solomon to get busy. He says, "Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He'll not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Herod's was not nearly as expensive as David's was. David lavished the wealth of his kingdom to do just this. Verse 21, "And behold, the courses of the priests, the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And thou shalt be with thee for all manner workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people be holy at thy commandment." You see, David had the kingdom in everyone, the priests, the workmen, the princes, the Levites, all stimulated and stirred up to do this. All Solomon had to do was just to do the thing David had already set up for him to do. Now we come to chapter 29, and actually the emphasis here now will shift to the kingdom. And this is the thing David had in mind in his dying day. And the center of that kingdom would be the temple, of course. Listen to this now, chapter 29. "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation." Now, this is his deathbed. You'll recall that when old Jacob was dying, he called in his son. Remember when Moses reached the end of his life, he had a message for all 12 of the tribes. Now, David has a message for the kingdom now, and he's come to the end of his life. Listen to him. "Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen." He makes it very clear that God did the choosing here, not David. "He's yet young and tender." That means he's a sissy. That's what he was. He was inexperienced. Old David was a veteran, you see. And I think David was rather hard-boiled, friends. Gracious, generous man. But he could be hard-boiled. And this boy Solomon is not experienced at all. And he says, "And the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God." Oh, the heart of David, my friend. Putting God first. Verse 2, "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron." And I'll move down to verse 3. "Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for his holy name." And then he mentions the amount of it here. It's a tremendous thing. He says, "The gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver." Be no stinting, no holding back. Then in verse 6, "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, they offered willingly." Now, David gave everything he had to this. Now, there is a response on the part of the people. "And they gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents. Then verse 9, "Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy." He gave, you know, with joy. My friend, there used to be a motto that said, "Give till it hurts." Well, the world may have that motto. That's not God's motto. If it hurts you to give, don't give. Give when it brings joy to your heart and life. Give hilariously, Paul says. And this was a time of great rejoicing, you see. Now we come to verse 10. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation." Now, here's David's great prayer. Listen to him. "And he said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father forever and ever." He's the father of the nation Israel, you see, but not of the individuals. David never called him father. God said to David, "David, my servant." That's very interesting. The law never made a son of God, only faith in Christ. We are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, will you notice something here that may sound familiar to you? Verse 11, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that's in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted, is head above all. You'll recall when the disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray, he gave them a prayer. He took them right back here to David's prayer. And this is the thing that was in the heart of David, you see. Thy kingdom come. And this is the words of brevity and simplicity. And it gathers up the aspiration and hopes of centuries. It is today one of the greatest prayers in Scripture. It's the greatest prayer in the Old Testament, and it's all comprehensive. It's majestic. It's adoration. It's praise. It's thanksgiving. It's repudiation of all human merit, and it's all human dependence upon God, self-humiliation. It's confession. It's dedication of everything, admitting that they already belong to God. This is a glorious prayer. It recognizes that the kingdom is God's. This is a tremendous thing. Thine is the kingdom. This is where the Lord Jesus laid hold of this to teach his disciples. Now, the scripture concept of the kingdom is a kingdom that's eternal and it's temporal. It's universal and it's local. It's immediate and mediated. Generally speaking, I think it's just the reign of the heaven over the earth. You remember that when God created Adam, he gave him dominion. And now, what is the kingdom? Well, it's the rule of God over the earth. It means to restore God's rule. It's the recovery of the earth and bring it back under God's rule. And I hope that you don't think today that God's ruling in this world. You won't have the heartbreak. You won't have the tears. You won't have the disappointment. You won't have the wars. And this is the kingdom we should pray for. It will only come about in God's way. This will come about through divine protocol. And the divine aspects will be adhered to. Man will not be able to build this kingdom here on this earth. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can establish the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. And I do not think what so-called Lord's Prayer is for public consumption. It's just not something to add to the ritual of a Sunday morning service. I personally believe that it's good for private devotion. Thine is the kingdom. That ought to be the prayer of every individual. This is a glorious way. David was looking to the coming of the kingdom here upon this earth. Now, verse 14, David says, "But who am I, and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and thine own have we given thee." The very interesting thing, you can't give God anything. He owns it to begin with. But he can bless you, and he will bless you. The reason some of us are so poor and narrow-minded and little is because we are not generous with God. God can only bless us when we open up our hearts. Listen to him. "O Lord our God, all this store that we prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and is all thine own." Oh, I wish I could stay here a week. This is wonderful. Now we read here verse 23, "Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him." Now listen to verse 26. "Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel. The time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron. 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead." This is the record that God has given. He wants you to know how he feels about David. Maybe you don't like David. God does. And I'm glad the Lord loved David and that the Lord dealt with David as he did, because David is so human. And I don't know about you, but Vernon McGee is very human. And I found out God will deal with him, too, just as graciously and just as good. And the Lord is good. The Lord is wonderful. Oh, that we give praise to God. I can't build him a temple. But, my friend, today we can offer the temple of the Holy Spirit, these bodies of ours, to him. Now, he doesn't get very much. That is when he gets me, but he's got me. My friend today. Oh, what joy it is. Be committed to him. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
If you missed any of these great messages in 1 Chronicles, or maybe you want to listen to them again, you can visit ttb.org or download our app from your phone's app store. Next time, we begin our study in 2 Chronicles. Until then, you can reach us at 1-800-65-BIBLE or visit ttb.org or email us at biblebus@ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll save a seat on the Bible bus just for you. And feel free to invite a friend to join us.
Jesus made it home, all to be my home. Sin had left a crimson stain.
Our journey on the Bible bus today is supported by the prayers and gifts of fellow passengers as we travel through the Bible.